So for a lot of fans of Thai food, it's, you know, hard to imagine a world without coconut milk. But there are whole regions within Thailand that barely ever touch the stuff, where, you know, some of the key flavors are things like numbing Sichuan peppercorn-like spices, and where curry paste might be as simple as garlic, shallots, and chilies pounded together. And I learned a lot about the people and the cuisines of these regions when I edited a book called The Food of Northern Thailand by Austin Bush. Austin's lived in Thailand for 20 years, and he went into restaurants, roadside stands, libraries, and people's homes to collect the recipes for his book. And he's here to talk about it. Austin, it's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so we worked on this book together for like 2 years minimum. Like, I don't even remember how long it's been since
you
started. But, you know, something I've realized I don't actually know about you is how you got into Thai food in the first place.
It was kind of a coincidence. To be honest, initially I was more interested in language. I was studying Thai at the University of Oregon. Got a scholarship to study Thai at Chiang Mai University in northern Thailand.
Okay.
And to be honest, like, I found Thai food kind of weird. Like, I hadn't really eaten it before. Everything was new to me. And so, you know, I was intrigued by that. But at the same time, it was a really good way for me to use my Thai to order food, to ask people about things. And Thai people are crazy about food.
Yeah.
Very happy to talk about it. So it was kind of the easiest way for me to, like, improve my language skills.
So, like, 20 years later, you've lived in Thailand for 20 years. Mm-hmm. You've traveled through many parts of the country, but especially in northern Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've been to big cities. You've been to really small communities. What are some of the reactions that you get from people who presumably don't see a lot of tourists when this white dude starts showing up and asking them how to cook their food in Thai?
You know, Thai people are very proud of their food. And when someone who's taken the opportunity to learn a bit about the food and especially the language, they're very impressed.
Mm.
People love it. And food is such a sort of elemental, basic, fun, easy, accessible thing to talk about. Nowadays in Bangkok, I feel like there's a lot of foreigners who speak Thai, so I don't really stand out so much.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to these villages in northern Thailand, yeah, people are very excited. They're very impressed, especially that someone is interested in their culture, interested in their food, interested in their language. Like, it didn't take very much work for me to be allowed into people's homes, into their professional kitchens, into, you know, hawker stalls. And I often didn't even have to ask twice.
Mm. So let's talk about northern Thai food. I think when most people think of Thai food, here in the United States anyway, we think of certain flavors. We'll think of chilies, we'll think of lime, we'll think of fish sauce, we'll think of coconut milk and those kinds of, you know, curries, like yellow curry, green curry, yada, yada.
Sure.
But in the north, these are not necessarily the key flavors, right?
Mm-hmm. One of the most sort of outstanding characteristics of northern Thai food is it's not that spicy.
Mm.
Northern Thai food doesn't have a whole lot of chilies. What it does have is a lot of umami. People love savory flavors. And so MSG is in everything. they like bitter flavors. And that can come from herbs. That can come from more challenging ingredients like gallbladder or the liquid inside the gallbladder, bile, things like that. Or even there's meat dishes that are seasoned with undigested sort of grass and bile. And there's a bit more use of dried spice in northern Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, there's one dried spice called mekwen, and it's kind of related to Sichuan pepper. It's, I think it's called prickly ash in English, and it has kind of a numbing, almost like evergreen sort of flavor, a little bit spicy, and, you know, it gives you that sort of pleasantly kind of numbing sensation.
Yeah.
And it's added to meat dishes.
But there are a lot of dishes of northern Thai food. And, certainly I'm not a student of it. I've never been there. But I've eaten it here in restaurants like Andy Ricker's restaurant, Pok Pok. He serves a lot of northern Thai dishes. And there's a lot of, certainly the food he serves, that is very clearly delicious to someone who's not familiar with that palate. So tell me about some of the aspects of the cuisine that, you know, someone who's new to it might immediately be drawn to.
Yeah, there's one northern Thai dish that I feel like every foreign visitor to Thailand just falls in love with immediately. And it's a curry noodle soup called khao sai. And you have this kind of mild coconut milk curry broth with chicken or beef and noodles. And Oddly enough, they're not elements you see in too many other Northern Thai dishes. They're kind of just in this one dish. Mm-hmm. But it's so accessible and so delicious and so kind of easy that everybody loves it.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, because the cuisine isn't super spicy, a lot of the dishes are kind of accessible. There's a lot of soups that are, you know, kind of savory, a little bit salty. The dishes aren't sweet at all. Mm. There's a lot of meat dishes. I found that interesting in particular because going around Northern Thailand, talking to old people in particular, especially in remote places, I learned that meat was really scarce for these people when they were growing up. If you talk to someone who's 60 years old or whatever, several people told me that they would only get meat once a year for some sort of Buddhist ceremony or ordination or something like that. And
sure.
A buffalo would be slaughtered or a pig would be slaughtered. But nowadays, some of the dishes we associate most with Northern Thai cooking are meaty. Mm-hmm. Grilled pork, sour fermented pork, and lap, this kind of salad of minced meat. Northern style lap has some dried spice in it. This dried spice is called mekwen that I was talking about earlier. There's a little bit of chili, but not much. And often it's eaten raw. So this is the dish where you get things like blood added to it or bile or you know, liquid from the gallbladder to give it a sort of bitter taste, which Northern Thais really love.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a really like minerally intense tartar kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's one more seasoning that I was really struck by. I still can't quite picture, but I love this image you have in the book of driving through the region called Mae Hong Son. I probably pronounced that terribly. But everywhere you go there, you said you would smell of these toasted soybean cakes. And that's both a food and a seasoning. It kind of has this sort of like interesting, unique role there.
Yeah, so in Mae Hong Son, sort of the northwestern corner of Thailand, the people are predominantly Shan, which is an ethnic group kind of related to the Thais. And they really love this ingredient called Thua Nao, which literally means rotten beans. And what they what they do is they take soybeans, you boil them, you mash it up into a really thick paste, and then you let it ferment. And then they're pressed into these discs that are dried in the sun. So they can be kept for months and months. And I think in the old days, people would grill those and crumble them over rice. And I think that's pretty much what a meal was, maybe 80, 90 years ago or whatever.
Mm.
These days, you still find it a lot, but it's kind of more of a seasoning. You'd grind it up with chili and make it into sort of a dip. Or it's similar to the way that shrimp paste is used in Central Thai cooking. So you'd pound it up with different herbs and spices and stuff like that in a paste. There's some that are seasoned, so they'll add a bit of lemongrass and chili and probably salt. And those are the kind that are meant to be sort of grilled and then crumbled over rice. But I think the standard one is...
That sounds so good.
I don't think it's salted. It's just plain. People toast them before they use them. And it's such a distinctive smell. It smells like sort of toasty, and it makes me think of that province every time I smell it. And if you drive around in Mae Hong Son in the evening or in the morning, you'll definitely smell it. It's still a very fundamental part of people's cuisine there.
Yeah. So you brought up the Shan people, and they are an ethnic group that you said are related to the Thai.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, ignorant me, I'm like, oh, Thailand, it's full of Thai people. And yes, they are all Thai and that they are all in Thailand, but there are many, many people who ethnically do not identify as Thai. They're of these different ethnicities, different tribes, different groups. And you write a lot about these different groups through the regions of Northern Thailand. Tell me a little bit about them and how that's created this unique cuisine of all these different influences.
Sure. Yeah, Northern Thailand is pretty multicultural. Most people think of the hill tribes, which are different groups that came to Thailand, Northern Thailand, about 100 years ago, kind of settling in these like mountainous areas. And not much has been written about their food, but I have a hill tribe buddy, and he took me to his village. He's Akha. His family grows coffee in Chiang Rai province, and I stayed with him and his mom for a couple of days, and his mom makes amazing food.
Mm.
And sort of paradoxically, they're some of the simplest recipes in the book.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally these people didn't have a lot of access to fancy ingredients and stuff. So there's a dish that's like small cherry tomatoes grilled over coals and then mashed up with garlic and garlic chives and stuff like that as a dip. And it's like salsa. It's totally
as a dip for sticky rice.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds so good.
His mom made this other dish that's so good, and it's kind of like meatloaf, I guess. It's kind of like lap, and then it's fatty pork minced up with a bunch of herbs, including garlic chives. And then you wrap it in banana leaves and grill it. And it comes out like this spicy herbal meatloaf.
Oh, cool.
It's really amazing. And then there's other groups. There's groups that are more closely related to the Thai people that speak Thai-related languages, like the Shan, or there's a group called the Thai Lu. And I was able to spend a little bit of time in some Thai Lu villages and get their recipes as well. And then there's a relatively big Chinese population in northern Thailand, some of whom are Muslims who used to run these trading routes across mainland Southeast Asia from Myanmar and China to the coast, where they would bring things from China, get salt, and then come bring that salt back to China. So you find these little enclaves in northern Thailand of Chinese people, Chinese Muslims, and then sort of more recently, after China was taken over by the communists in 1949, a lot of people fled across the borders. They were sort of like resistance fighters, the KMT fighters, who held out in these little villages in northern Thailand, and they still speak Yunnanese dialects. They still, you know, eat very Chinese dishes. I thought that was really fascinating. So I included some of those recipes as well.
Yeah. It's amazing how, you know, we so often think of the world as being nations, countries, these political boundaries, but the ethnic groups ebb and flow from one country to the other, like, with so much fluidity. It's like you travel and talk to people and find their stories and find their heritages, and like everywhere you go in the world is way more complicated and complex than it might seem just by looking at a map. This is awesome, Austin, and it's been a pleasure talking with you. It's a real pleasure working with you on the book, and hope you come back to the U.S. again soon.
Thanks for having me, Francis.
Austin Bush is the author of The Food of Northern Thailand. He's also the photographer for Pok Pok and other books by the chef Andy Ricker. Austin left us a recipe, one of those noodle dishes he talked about from the Shan people. It's called Khao Sen, Shan-style noodle soup with pork and tomato, and it's at splendidtable.org.